Welcome to Academy Watch from Punch and Pie Media. I'm your host, Bo Nicholson. This is where we predict the Oscars, and this is a mini episode to give a bit of an update after the Critics' Choice Awards have just happened. To get the obvious headlines out of the way, one battle after another continues its march towards Best Picture at the Oscars by winning Best Picture here, as well as Best Director and Best Adapted Screenplay, both for Paul Thomas Anderson. But it was not the winner of the most awards on the night, with Frankenstein and Sinners both winning 4 awards each, indicating that one battle after another may not be the juggernaut I was predicting across multiple categories. Sinners took home Best Original Screenplay, Best Casting, Best Young Actor for Miles Keaton, and Best Score, while Frankenstein dominated technicals with wins in costumes, production design, hair and makeup, and also a surprise win for Jacob Elordi in Supporting Actor. From an Oscars prediction point of view, the Critics' Choice Awards are not always particularly predictive, mostly because there is not a lot of crossover in the voters' bodies between the two organizations, but it is a major awards ceremony, and any chance that people get to make speeches on TV, particularly if you're an actor or director, is a chance to build momentum towards the Oscars, which is still considered the ultimate prize in the industry. Some years you get Troy Kotsur from Coda, whose charisma with his interpreted speeches made him a lock in Supporting Actor and then drove Coda all the way to Best Picture at the Oscars. But then again, some years you get a Demi Moore, who won Best Actress at the Critics' Choice and Golden Globes, but didn't manage to convert that into an Oscar despite some great speeches. Long story short, this might make some slight changes to rolling predictions for people, but it would be unwise to make sweeping changes at this stage, as there are still plenty of opportunities for others to gain momentum heading into March. Let's work through the list of Oscar-relevant categories, and to demonstrate the strength, or otherwise, of Critics' Choice as a predictor, I'll indicate how many of the last 5 winners in this category went on to win the corresponding Oscar. Let's start, logically enough, with Best Picture. A win for one battle after another to start the season off strongly. It was a predictable win, with many pundits predicting a season sweep for it. Of the last 5 Critics' Choice winners in this category, 4 have gone on to win Best Picture, with only The Power of the Dog succumbing to the aforementioned Coda in that time. So in terms of trends and existing data, I think it would be silly to move away from predicting one battle after another at this point. Best Director also went to one battle after another, with Paul Thomas Anderson accepting the trophy. Another predictable win for another strong favourite for the Oscar. And again, 4 of the last 5 have gone on to correspond with the Oscars, the odd one out being last year's win for John M. Chu for Wicked, which was baffling at the time and didn't even lead to a nomination at the Oscars for him. Best Actor went to Timothée Chalamet for Mardi Supreme, and we'll get the people talking as Chalamet ruthlessly chases his first Oscar. His main competition appears to be Leo DiCaprio for One Battle After Another, and this is shaping to be an interesting race, one of the most interesting this year. 3 of the last 5 winners have gone on to win the Oscars. Who could forget? Will Smith at the Oscars, Brendan Fraser with that big comeback for The Whale, and then Adrien Brody last year. This race is truly too early to call at this stage. Best Actress predictably went to Jessie Buckley for Hamnet, with most people predicting a sweep of the major awards on the cards for her. Only 2 of the last 5 have gone on to win in this category though, Jessica Chastain and Emma Stone, and they were both incredibly tight races right to the final night. This year feels quite different, with Buckley being the clear favourite at this point, although most good judges are certainly keeping an eye on Australian legend Rose Byrne. Speaking of Australian legends, Best Supporting Actor, surprisingly, went to Jacob Elordi for Frankenstein, who has really been considered like a 5th seed for much of the early season. I really liked Elordi's performance, but is it deserving of an eventual win over someone like Benicio, or Sean Penn, or the wonderful Stellan Skarsgård? I'm not so sure, but this won't hurt his chances of securing an Oscar nomination at the very least. All 5 of the most recent winners have gone on to win at the Oscars, by the way, so he certainly has history on his side. Best Supporting Actress was also a surprise, with Amy Madigan winning for Weapons in a truly unhinged performance. I really don't think this will translate to Oscar's success for her, but it might be enough to make her a nominee in that category, which for a horror movie is a great achievement. Three of the last five have gone on to win at the Oscars, but I'm still thinking Teyana Taylor or Ariana Grande stand the best chance on Oscar night. Best Casting and Ensemble went to Sinners, and this is the newest category at the Oscars, although it is specifically called Best Casting. In the past, Ensemble has been given at Critics' Choice without mention of casting, so it may not be a like-for-like predictor, but out of interest, the last five winners in this category have been The Trial of the Chicago 7, Belfast, Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery, Oppenheimer, and Conclave. Can Francine Maisler for Sinners be the first to win Best Casting at the Oscars? Maybe. It might be tough to beat one battle after another, but I'd say it has as good a shot as any movie. Next, let's go to Best Original Screenplay, where Ryan Coogler won for Sinners, and it's certainly in the mix to win the Oscar, even with challenges from It Was Just an Accident and Sentimental Value, or even Marty Supreme. Three of the last five have gone on to correspond to an Oscars win, but curiously, the last two, The Substance and Barbie, did not, although Barbie was categorized as adapted screenplay at the Oscars that year. In Best Adapted Screenplay, Paul Thomas Anderson won for One Battle After Another. Again, three of the last five have won, but those are the most recent three, with Conclave, American Fiction, and Women Talking all claiming the Oscar. I'd expect One Battle After Another to make that four in a row. In Best Cinematography, a somewhat surprising win for Adolfo Veloso for Train Dreams. I'm not sure Train Dreams will have the strength in other categories to push for a major award like cinematography at the Oscars. In fact, the only time there has been correlation in the last 5 years for this category is Oppenheimer, which was a juggernaut and was relatively unchallenged. I'd expect Train Dreams to maybe score a nomination and be a bit of a critic's favorite without actually winning the Oscar. In Best Editing, Steven Mirioni won for F1, which might not dominate the technicals the way we were expecting before its release. Only two of the last five have correlated, and they were the juggernauts, Everything Everywhere All at Once and Oppenheimer. Again, I'd say F1 is a good chance of a nomination, but it's hard to see it translating to a win at the Oscars. Kate Hawley's win in costume design for Frankenstein is not a surprise, and she stands to be a great chance at claiming the Oscar in March. Four of the last five have correlated, with only Barbie losing to eventual winner Poor Things. Frankenstein also had a win in production design for Tamara Devereaux and Shane Viau. Guillermo del Toro's movies are no stranger to winning Oscars in this category, and this one is a great chance this season as well. Three of the last five have correlated, with Mank, Dune, and Wicked last year completing the double. I'd say Frankenstein will win the Oscar as well. Best score went to the brilliant Ludvig Göransson for Sinners. Göransson is already a two-time Oscar winner and looks in the mix to square off against Johnny Greenwood's One Battle After Another for the Oscar. Three of the last five have correlated, including Göransson's score for Oppenheimer, and this could be one of the great races this season. Best Song predictably went to Golden from K-pop Demon Hunters. Is it too early to say this is a lock? Maybe with Wicked and Sinners in the mix, but this feels like it is done already in my book. Three out of the last five have correlated, but one of the ones that lost was I'm Just Ken from Barbie, where the other Barbie song beat it, so it's almost four out of the last five. I think Golden will continue that trend. Best Hair and Makeup went to the Frankenstein team of Mike Hill, Jordan Samuel, and Cleona Fury. I'd expect this to translate to an easy win on the night and might already be a lock. Again, there is a 3 out of 5 correlation, but I do think this one will win. Best Sound went to F1's team of Al Nelson, Gwendolyn Yates-Whittle, Gary A. Rizzo, Juan Peralta, and Gareth John, and it's going to be in a tight race with Sinners and maybe even one battle after another. However, Best Sound is a new category at Critics' Choice, believe it or not, so there is no correlation to speak of. Best Visual Effects went to Avatar Fire and Ash's team of Joe Letteri, Richard Bainham, Eric Sandin, and Daniel Barrett. As a general rule, if there's an Avatar or Dune movie, you predict it for the Oscar in visual effects, and that's what I'll be doing this year. 4 out of 5 of the last winners correlated, including 1 Avatar film and 2 Dune films. This will continue that trend. Best Animated Feature went to K-Pop Demon Hunters, which is another predictable win, and will be my prediction this year, almost certainly, come March. This category has only existed for the past 4 years at Critics' Choice, and strangely, only one has converted into an Oscars win, with Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio getting the win a few years back. Will K-Pop Demon Hunters be struck by the curse? I don't think so, but maybe. And finally, Best Foreign Language Film went to The Secret Agent from Brazil, which slightly shores up its chances of getting a Best Picture nomination at the Oscars. In this category, it wasn't against sentimental value, which it will have to beat at the Oscars in international feature, but it did take down Sirat, No Other Choice, and It Was Just an Accident, which is no mean feat. I don't think it will translate to an Oscar win for The Secret Agent, and history is against it, with only 1 of the last 5 Critics' Choice winners going on to win the Oscar for Best International Feature. 2 of those are because of categorization differences, with Minari and Anatomy of a Fall not being eligible for international feature, while RRR wasn't even put forward by India. Emilia Perez lost last year, so the only one to convert the Critics' Choice win was the wonderful Drive My Car a few years ago. And that's all the results from Critics' Choice this year. A few surprises, to be sure, but even still, not too many changes in my predictions personally. The next port of call will be the Golden Globes results to see some more televised speeches and see if the tea leaves are saying anything different. But what do you think? Did some of these awards confirm some of your predictions, or did they muddy the waters somewhat? The best way to let me know is by joining the Discord, which is totally free, and the link for which is in the show notes. But until the next episode, where we are unpacking the Golden Globes, you should definitely leave a 5-star rating and a review and tell a friend who loves the Oscars about Academy Watch, and I'll see you then. Bye for now.